Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Well, on the heels of our conversation with Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage, I thought it appropriate to take up responses to commonly held and commonly heard arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. They're made all over the place. Perhaps the most potent one, at least rhetorically, we'll take up first, and that is, look, to restrict marriage of people of the same sex is the same thing as the old laws that restricted marriage between the races or interracial marriage. Alan Schliemann joins us. He's speaker for Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California, and author of a chapter on homosexuality in a forthcoming book, Apologetics for a New Generation. Alan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
How do you take up that perhaps most potent of the arguments often made, and that this is akin to the old laws that in a more benighted time of racial enlightenment restricted a black man from marrying a white woman or vice versa?
Yeah, well, Todd, you mentioned it just a second ago, something very true, and that is it's a very effective rhetorical statement made, but often, in fact, actually, I should say all the time, it's gravely mistaken. And the reason is because, yes, we acknowledge that it was wrong to oppose interracial marriage, but the same mistake is not happening here today. And the reason is that race and ethnicity doesn't have anything to do with marriage, but sex or gender is fundamental to it. And so, you know, we can recognize that there's no difference between a black and a white human being because skin color is morally trivial. But there's an enormous difference between a man and a woman. And so, I mean, that's why we have separate bathrooms for men and women, and that makes sense, but we don't have separate bathrooms for blacks and whites. And so while allowing interracial marriage affirmed marriage, or the main concept behind marriage, same-sex marriage completely redefines it, because the essential component, which is gender, which ironically is the very thing that the Judge Walker denied is no longer relevant to marriage, gender is not optional for marriage and for families. So it's not the same mistake that's being made here again, because we're dealing with two different things. One is race and ethnicity, and the other one is gender.
One of the things I've noticed also, and just to kind of speak of the rhetoric a little bit,
sure.
One of the things I've noticed rhetorically from the proponents of same-sex marriage, in particular in the California context, mm-hmm. they're talking about returning this right to people in the state of California as though it were always there, yet perhaps unrecognized, and that somehow the vote on Prop 8 took it away from them. Has something been taken away from same-sex couples that they had before?
No, I mean, historically, at least, if you look at it, throughout all of history, they never had the right to marry someone of the same sex. It was just simply the fact that that the Supreme Court in California created this right to marry, and so Prop 8, yes, did remove that artificial creation of that alleged right by the Supreme Court. But in essence, it was what Prop 8 did was return it back to the standard definition of marriage that has been in place throughout all of history. And, you know, actually, when you brought up the issue of rights here, and there is this sense in which people think that somehow heterosexual people have some additional right that homosexuals don't, or that somehow homosexuals have restrictions that we don't. And this is just simply not the case. Now, if you look at it carefully from a legal perspective, both heterosexuals and homosexuals have the same rights and the same restrictions. So, for example, if you look at a homosexual person, or I should say a heterosexual person like myself, yes, I have the right to marry, and I can receive all the privileges and benefits of marriage. Well, the same is the case with a homosexual person. They can also marry and receive the same privileges and benefits of marriage. Now, they're going to say, yeah, but we can't marry somebody of the same sex. Well, that's true, but neither can I. And so I have the same restrictions as them. I can't marry a close blood relative. I can't marry a child. I can't marry a person who's already married. I can't marry a person the same sex. So both homosexuals and heterosexuals turn out to have both the same rights and the same restrictions between both of them. There's no unequal protection under the law, which is commonly what's most often argued in favor of their view.
So when we hear someone saying that the right to marry someone of the same sex is their constitutional right, and I'm frankly amazed at how many people who are kind of casual proponents of same-sex marriage actually believe that it is a constitutional right. Somewhere in the Constitution, it's written up in there. They're quite wrong.
No, they're quite wrong. And I mean, the writers of the Constitution would have never considered that a constitutional right. But again, as I pointed out, homosexuals have the same rights and restrictions as heterosexuals. They have the right to marry, just like I do, and they have the same restrictions as I do. So there's no unequal protection. That's the key issue. That's the issue that was brought up in this particular decision, and it's also the issue that's kind of brought up in culture, is somehow this is unequal protection under the law. There is no legal inequality. There's only an inequality of desire. But marriage law applies to each citizen in the same way. Everybody's treated alike.
So it really, just to stay on this for a second, if I said, I want to marry my sister, my blood sister, the girl that, I don't have any sisters, but let's say there was one.
Right.
And the law says, no, I can't say, well, you're denying me a right that Joe down the block, who married someone of no relation to him, obviously is free to exercise.
That's right. Yeah. You don't have that right. You are restricted, and both heterosexuals and homosexuals are restricted in the same way.
Okay.
There's no inequality here of the marriage law, basically, is what I'm trying to argue.
Some say, really, this is about love. And the government can't tell us who we can and can't love.
Well, that's right. The government can't, but no one's being stopped from loving anybody. You can love anyone you like. You can love any number of people you like. It doesn't really matter. The government isn't interested in love, and no one's stopping you from loving other people. And in fact, marriage really isn't about love either. I mean, I just think about my own relatives. I'm an Assyrian, which is a Middle Eastern ethnicity. And amongst a lot of Assyrians, a lot of my aunts and uncles, they had, marriages by... arranged marriages, okay? Now, a lot of my aunts and uncles didn't love each other when they got married. In fact, if you look historically throughout the world, there's millions, if I don't know, perhaps billions of couples that have had arranged marriages where there was no love involved initially, but eventually love, you know, percolated as a result of the marriage. So marriage isn't about love, and there's no you know, part on a marriage application that asks you, are you in love with the person? Because that's irrelevant. Where the government is interested is what your gender is. That's the key issue, and the reason they're concerned about that is because they have a vested interest in seeing that society is maintained through monogamous relationships that, as a rule, as a group, produce the next generation.
So it's not about civil rights, and it's not about love. To kind of get into the mind of the most thoughtful proponent of same-sex marriage, what is it really about? It seems as though marriage is standing in for something else.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not about these rights. What it all ultimately boils down to is an issue of respect. Pro-gay advocates, same-sex marriage advocates, recognize that unless they're given the same status as heterosexual marriages, then they'll never have the respect that they believe they deserve. So this isn't about the rights they have. In fact, in California, under domestic partnership laws, they virtually have every right, I mean, not all of them, but almost all of them, all the major ones, you know, are given and extended to same-sex domestic partnerships. And so you wonder, well, why would they be fighting for marriage so badly? Well, the answer is it's not about rights. It's about respect. And they recognize that this is a way that makes society, through the state, confer respect and equal status to these particular unions.
Some of the proponents of same-sex marriage say, look, this isn't the first time someone's called for the redefinition. This isn't the first time that societies have redefined marriage. You just mentioned yourself, Alan, that for most people, and perhaps for some of our more immediate ancestors, arranged marriage was considered the standard rather than what we do today, where we go out and kind of find our soulmate, whatever it may be. So marriage is always being redefined in little and big ways. Your response?
Well, I mean, that's simply not true. Marriage has never been redefined in small little ways. Marriage isn't a social construction. It isn't that societies somehow create what marriage. In fact, it turns out it's the other way around. Marriages and the children they produce, the families that they create, turn out to be what constructs culture. Marriages and the families they create are logically prior to the state. They're logically prior to society. You know, I mean, this is one of the reasons why neither society nor the state has the right to sort of redefine what marriage is, because marriage is not a creation of the state or the government. Marriage exists logically prior to culture and exists logically prior to the state. The government simply looks out into civilization and says, look, we recognize that males and females come together naturally, spontaneously, in every civilization throughout history, and produce long-term monogamous relationships that produce the next generation. And these families form the building blocks of our society and eventually what leads to the state. And so these families produce the most stable and advantageous environments for raising kids and securing the stability of society. So the government is simply recognizing what already exists and then creating laws to protect and privilege these marriages.
All right, let's take up something that you just mentioned on the other side of the break, the procreation and the raising of children. And the proponents of same-sex marriage will say, look, not all marriages produce children, so maybe they're illegitimate. And if same-sex couples want to marry, and they do, they don't necessarily have to carry out that what appears to be kind of a basic function of marriage. It's not essential to marriage, because even heterosexual couples who marry, many of them do not have kids. We'll have Alan Schliemann's response to that after this. It's Thursday afternoon, August the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
A sign of the times?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Imagine going to a shoe store and seeing a sign that states, "The store does not sell office supplies." Now consider that the government had mandated the hanging of the sign. In what seems a strange law, two counties in Maryland have forced pregnancy support centers to post signs saying what they do not do: perform abortions. As Breakpoint commentator Chuck Colson pointed out, Planned Parenthood and NARAL are behind these new laws as part of a strategy to take clients away from pregnancy support centers and funnel them to abortion clinics.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
We're responding to arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. Alan Schliemann is our guest on Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon. He's a speaker for Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California. and author of a chapter on homosexuality in a forthcoming book, Apologetics for a New Generation. Before the break, Alan, you had mentioned that, and I quite agree with you, that the family as it is constituted, mother, father, and children, is the foundation of society, not an outgrowth of society or culture. And some might say, look, well, not all heterosexual couples who marry have children. How do we respond to this? Well, it's kind of an argument, a reverse argument for same-sex marriage.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. And let me just emphasize here that this is one of the key issues that I bring up as a secular argument against same-sex marriage. And the reason I say that is because even as Christians, we have to be careful when we're trying to persuade a secular culture on a public policy issue. We have to present secular arguments. And I think this is an important one, that same-sex marriage ultimately will harm children, partly because same-sex marriage, by design, will always deny a child their mother or father. And so by legalizing same-sex marriage, what in essence is happening is the state is declaring that mothers and fathers are interchangeable, and that somehow mothers offer no unique contribution to their children. You know, a man could simply accomplish all of the roles of a mother just as well. And so that's why I think this is problematic. Now, obviously people say, yeah, but not all heterosexual marriages have children. That's true, but every child has a mother and a father, and children have a legitimate interest in the union and stability of their parents. And this is something that they can't pursue or protect, and so that's why we try to create laws that protect that interest of the child. And so even if some marriages don't produce children, it doesn't nullify the natural tie that marriage has to procreation. You know, I mean, marriage is still what it is, even if its essential purpose is never actualized. You know, books might be written and published and used as doorsteps, but that doesn't negate the intended function of a book, which is to be read. And so the purpose of marriage, really, what we're trying to do is create an optimal environment for raising kids. But what same-sex marriage ultimately does is creates a harmful environment.
Herman is listening in Illinois. Herman, our time is brief.
Thank you for taking my call. I just ask your guest, if the liberal intellectual elite has always applauded the decline of heterosexual marriage as being too restrictive to people, why do they want their cultural heroes, the homosexuals, to go into what they consider to be a more or less decadent and restrictive institution?
Thank you, Herman. Your thoughts, Alan?
Yeah, so I'm just trying to understand the question. He's saying why...
Well, I think it's, in essence, if the kind of the secular elite have said marriage is passé, why is it suddenly marriage is all the rage?
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Well, it goes back to what I was saying before. Yeah, you're right. Initially, they were saying, well, what, you know, who cares about marriage? It's just a piece of paper. But now, all of a sudden, like the caller was saying, all of a sudden, everybody cares about it. Well, the reason goes back to the issue of respect. This is the way that culture affirms homosexual unions as legitimate and equal to everybody else. Equal to every other kind of union. And so that's the key, is respect. It's not about rights. It's not about the piece of paper. It's about respect, and that's what they want.
Finally, then, what's the bottom line? Make the secular case. What is wrong about same-sex marriage?
Well, what's wrong about it is. I mean, at its core level, it denies and rejects the natural teleology, the natural design of males and females, and how they're made to function sexually together, and to perform and to create long-term monogamous unions that produce the next generation. At its core, same-sex marriage basically fractures the foundation, the pillar of society and of culture, and so you can't just, you know, take a sledgehammer to this very core component of society and expect to suffer no ill effect. This isn't going to happen overnight. I mean, you can legalize same-sex marriage, and it's not like next year all of a sudden society will fall apart. But over time, if what we're saying is true, and I believe it is, that same-sex marriage will harm children and families, then ultimately we'll see a more difficult a society in which children are raised without fathers, without mothers, in an increasingly more secular environment that I think ultimately will harm society and culture. So it won't be instant, but it'll be significant.
Alan Schliemann is speaker for Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California. He's author of a chapter on homosexuality in a forthcoming book called Apologetics for a New Generation. And you can read a great paper written by Greg Kokel titled Same-Sex Marriage, Challenges and Responses under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Alan, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
It really is an either-or. The question is, can we redefine marriage? Can we do it? If we can, then we can redefine marriage to be anything. But if marriage exists in and of itself, apart from how we want to define it, if it is part of the integral fabric of our society, even essential to, I would say, the order of our creation, then we are not at liberty to define it or redefine it. It simply is what it is, and we recognize it in society, in the culture, and especially in law.